Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
And Mike, the feverish Fadero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Let's go.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 232. Here, as always, with the feverish Fanero.
I thought we were on 229. How did we scream so quickly to 232, Swags?
It's the Rookie Fever player profiles.
I thought that's what it was.
Yes, I almost wanted to call it episode 200 and Rookie Fever player profiles. Because they're out. We released them. We kicked it off with Felix Sharps talking about some Wandale Robinson. Must go check that out. Him and the Campus Canton site. We're going to have more of those guys on. And then followed it up with Katie Flower, who I think last year kicked it off for us.
She did.
And with some Treylon Burks. Like, what a great way to kick off Rookie Fever player profiles. Happy to have both those people on the show. Welcome, Matt, as always, there. Definitely check out their work. I feel like most people started in some way. Well, maybe not, because there's this a new generation of dynasty heads coming up, which is fine. But I feel like a lot of us, like when I talk to you, we started out with some under the helmet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's one of the first dynasty podcasts I probably listened to, honestly, was Under the Helmet.
Yep, it was mine too.
That and then like Nerds. Dynasty mm-hmm. Trades Calculator was another one that kind of mm-hmm. came up back
little
then.
Little Dynasty Dude. Dynasty I like his dude, short yep. shows. Yeah.
Quick short shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some shout outs to the OGs.
Yeah.
So I listened to your show today, by the way, and that was an amazing one. If you guys have not listened to that, that is such a quick, smooth listen. I think you got in and out in 22 minutes. So when you're done with this, move over there. Speaking of that, we'll try to keep this short and sweet as well. So we're going to be talking about some of the maybe not so hot rookies, but as well as some of the teams, the rookie picks they have, and what we could perceive happening with some of those. Holy cow, what an exercise this was, just kind of going through the teams. And even before we got on, I said this kind of seemed unconventional, but then you start to look at things just a little bit differently. So I think this is the kind of show where if you're interested in some of the teams' draft picks, where they're picking some of the players, maybe what they did with their last year's picks, I think you grab a pen and paper and maybe you continue this exercise, because we're going to do the AFC this week and we're going to do the NFC next week. So maybe you do exactly what we're going to do and you roll right into the NFC with us, and then maybe you have your notes ready to go, or we'll take them for you and you get your pen and paper out next week with us. But this is I think it's just looking at things a little bit differently, and it might change some of your perspective on something, Fanero.
This exercise changed my perspective on a few players that I thought I was pretty set on. And after looking at the let's call it non-fantasy items, like we're not looking at what they did last year. We're looking at depth charts. We're looking at cap space. We're looking at rookie picks for 2022. We're looking at notable free agents. Like, the list goes on. This is NFL stuff, right? NFL stuff affects fantasy stuff. And it affected my takes on a few players.
If you were to pull out the compass, what direction would I have to get you to go to talk to about some of the... Because I'm curious. You haven't even told me. So do we need to go north, south, east, west? Like, where do we have to go to get to some of these players that you're either less interested in or more interested in?
I would probably travel east.
In a division. You want to
probably travel east? Yeah.
Kick it off with Buffalo. And like we said, kind of boring as far as like...
Yes.
Fanero, when are these guys not rookies anymore? And when are they rewinds?
We're right on that fence. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
We're right on that fence right now.
Merging together pretty well right now.
I think for the sake of this particular show, only two profiles in, I'm going to say that the rookies are still our 2021 rookies and our rewinds are our 2020 guys. So what I will say about the Buffalo Bills is, ooh, cap space, brother. They're in a great, great spot. Don't get me wrong. They have a very good team. They were just one game away from going to the big one. But ninth least in cap space. They only have $4.7 million in cap space. They do have some needs. Corner, offensive line, linebackers, maybe a D-tackle, maybe a wide receiver with Emmanuel Sanders leaving. But so the Buffalo Bills are boring as far as 2021 goes. But I remember you maybe before we hit the mic talking about a 2020 rookie that you were even a little more interested in.
I mean, and yeah, that's one thing. I definitely got more excited about Gabriel Davis. My shares of and my comfort range of what I'm willing to go out and pay to acquire some more Gabriel Davis. Just looking at that depth chart, I didn't dig as deep into the financials as Feverish did. So I'm not even going to try to say that. But even saying that, that makes me feel even better about it because they're not going to get somebody like Allen Robinson to go to that team, help them win a championship. They're probably going to try to get the wide receiver you mentioned through the draft with, you know, that first rounder. They've got the pick 25 and then a 57 in the second round. And those are the areas I start to get, like, you know, in the first three rounds, I feel like if there's a wide receiver drafted, there is a chance. I mean, even Amon-Ra St. Brown, he was a fourth round draft pick. That doesn't happen a lot to where, you know what I mean? Especially in year one. But the first three rounds, and they have three picks in that area. I mean, you mentioned a lot of needs, though. Those are decent spots where they can grab a wide receiver. But yeah, it does make me more interested in Gabriel Davis.
Yeah, and they have a full, you know, complement of picks. It's not like they don't have a first, second, or third, or fourth. They have a couple sixth-round picks. They have a couple seventh. They're a team that doesn't need a lot. You know, the corner, the offensive lineman, these are things that are going to complement. They do. So just notable free agents, Levi Wallace, corner. That's why they're going to maybe need a corner. Edge, Jerry Hughes, another edge player, Mario Addison. And then, you know, our positional players that we care about, like Emmanuel Sanders. But again, there's not a lot of notable free agents that really affect us in fantasy. But these other players do affect the team. Buffalo's going to have to go and replace these players in the draft. That's why, you know, corner and maybe an offensive lineman or two, even a linebacker, are probably going to be where a team like Buffalo, you know, championship or playoff caliber team, is going to go shopping. They don't really have to go shop in these areas that you and I like to talk about, wide receiver, running back. I do believe you're right. Running back is definitely a spot that they could look. I don't think Devin Singletary is the long-term answer. But even that, man, like, it's not, this isn't necessarily the class that's going to, like, really help them a lot. There's some okay free agents in this class coming out. I think you know, players like Chase Edmonds, Sony Michel, Melvin Gordon, James Conner, Leonard Fournette. You know, I don't know. I don't see Buffalo going after those guys. So it might be status quo for them at running back. I'm not sure.
And let's be honest. You look at the Rams, and it's not like Cam Akers, Sony Michel, or Daryl Henderson did a ton of for them to help them win that Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the argument I want to make, is Buffalo is so ready. They need a running back to add to that unit. Like, so take a little bit of that pressure off of Josh Allen as well. But maybe they don't, you know, maybe they don't. But I feel like they need to add a running back. I don't know if it's in the draft, because my running backs for the draft, I want to be drafted more like in the first, like, 4 to 5, because, you know, you never know what's going to happen. Once they're there, it's all about finding the opportunity. So my running backs, you're almost more forgiving because you never know what's going to happen with, I mean, we've seen fourth and fifth round running backs hit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But still the same, this isn't like a really deep running back class. They would have to take Breece Hall probably 25, because he's probably not making it to 57 just because of the running back depth in this particular draft.
And again, that's something that the team could do. I just don't see. I think NFL teams are like, we'll figure that out. So I think, you know, I think if I'm looking at this Buffalo draft and I'm looking at my knees and I look how close I got, I'm not blaming Devin Singletary in my rushing game. You know, that defense sure gave up a lot of points. And I know it was Kansas City, but I mean, it was like a sieve at the end of that game. I probably would like a nice corner to lock that down. Mm-hmm. A little bit more protection on my quarterback, my prized possession. That might be nice. You know what I mean? Like, we want them to draft a running back. I get it. We want that. But this is good. This feels like one of those teams where we're going to get disappointed. We're going to pick that as a hot spot at running back. And yeah, they'll probably draft one in the fourth or fifth round.
Yeah.
And that'll be what we get.
Even like you mentioned, you know, and we'll get off Buffalo here, but Marcus Stevenson, the only offensive weapon that they drafted last year, and that was in the sixth round. Not mentioning him for any other reason, but to mention that they didn't really draft anybody last year. And that could happen again as they take care of other positions. They do have a lot of picks, but a lot of them are later. Total of 9 picks, though. So,
yeah.
Moving along to Miami.
Miami is definitely one of the 3 or 4 hot spots that I wouldn't mind spending a little time on some 2021 rookies that I have changed my mind a little bit on.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I can only think of one.
Well, let me tell you. So, Miami Dolphins.
Hunter Long?
Yeah. Miami Dolphins have 60. You said a couple. Well, I meant like of the ones that I have selected.
Okay. Got you.
There's not a couple in Miami. Think
of another one. I'm like, man, like.
I have 4 or 5 in this entire AFC.
Jared Doakes?
They're not all in Miami. the spectacular thing about the Miami Dolphins is that they have the most cap space of any NFL team in the league. And then just to take it a step further, they have twice the amount of cap space than 25 other NFL teams.
Wow.
Let that sink in. So Miami has a lot of money, yet we all are saying Mike Gesicki is like going to go somewhere else, including a lot of beat reporters in Miami, by the way. I think this is a great time, a pocket of time, if you will, to play the narrative that Mike Gesicki is leaving and that Hunter Long is going to take over. People love what we haven't seen. We haven't seen Hunter Long, not because Hunter Long couldn't earn his way on the field, because Hunter Long got hurt immediately. Yep. We never got to see him. So he's that thing that we haven't seen. So there's going to be some value there. And if you can weave a story where Mike Gesicki is going to go away, because he would probably be, I looked at the tight end list, he's probably the best tight end on this list. He finished as tight end 7 last year. He was only 9 points away, Swags, from tight end. Oh, I'm sorry, no. He only had 2 touchdowns, Mike Gesicki. Only had 2 touchdowns and finished as tight end 7. If we give him 6 touchdowns, he's tight end 5 and 9 points away from touchdown or tight end 3. So he's in that, like, you know, you could see like a team change, let's say the Chargers or something like that, really juicing somebody up for Mike Gesicki. I could see people just seeing Mike go bye-bye and wanting this for Hunter Long. So I could see like there's a pocket of time right now before Gesicki, because I think Gesicki signs. I think he stays. He wants to stay in Miami. He showed great chemistry with Tua, and they have the cash. I just got done saying that. They have more money than
I thought. That's the direction I thought you were going to go. Like, you baited us. Me and the listeners are sitting here, you're talking about all this money, and then you're like, and he leaves. And I'm like, what? Like, what's going on?
I think he stays.
About to stay.
Well, you said Hunter Long before I got the opportunity to get there, so you blew my punchline, first off. I had this holding built, and you're like, I don't know what you're... Oh, you must be talking about Hunter Long. Yes, thank you.
I don't know your stories.
What's that?
I don't know your stories.
Yeah, I know you don't know my stories, but... The story that I was weaving was not only are, like, I don't think most fantasy gamers are looking at the cap space. I mean, I got a wow from you when I told you not only how much cap space, but how money. Much,
I mean, the,
how
the
much relative cap space they have, which is more important.
The amount of 25 other teams. I mean, that's a lot of extra money.
It's a ton.
Not to mention Hunter Long's coming off an injury, and Gesicki's been pretty good, actually. People like to crap on him, but like you said, those touchdowns weren't there, and Tua's only going to get better.
So I have Hunter Long in a handful of leagues, and if I can, and I'll be patient because the offseason's long, but I would like to, if at all possible, unload Hunter Long and like I said, spin a narrative that basically, like,
I like that.
I think tight ends in general are a long wait. So even if I'm wrong, to be quite honest, it's going to be his rookie year basically next year because he didn't play at all, right? So even if I'm wrong, I wouldn't really.
Hopefully you have that position figured out on your team.
Right. Yeah. So I feel like he's somebody I was excited about, Swags. That this is a player that I was legitimately stashing. You know, I'm freaking, he's in my garden, dude.
Yeah,
he's,
I like
this. This is a Hunter Long's in a lot of garden.
Part of the reason I wanted to do this exercise is to try to help people get rid of those people that might still like Hunter Long. You just created the exact narrative that most people are thinking of why Hunter Long might hit once they see him hit that trade inbox, whether he just helps you upgrade a little bit, clears a little roster space, and gets your team a little bit better with a team that really, I mean, maybe, when's he going to help you? Maybe you offer him to the Gesicki team, quite honestly. Maybe that's the team that you send him to and see if they're kind of like, maybe that might be a good idea. Good maybe that's policy. The right team to make that move even easier.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Miami, with all that money too, Swags, their free agent list is a bunch of meh. So, like, the guys that they paid last year, for example, they paid $10 million to Will Fuller last year.
Yeah.
They're not doing that again.
No.
They're not re-signing Will Fuller. That's an automatic savings. Then you got Philip Lindsay. You have Albert Wilson, Malcolm Brown, Salvin Ahmed, Preston Williams. They're not signing any of these guys back.
Maybe they'll sign Allen Robinson.
Seriously, Miami Dolphins and the Jets, these two teams that have a little bit of stink on, well, Jets have a lot of stink. Miami still has some stink, but people are starting to get wise to them because they've been progressively getting better from year after year. And people are starting to really buy, including the team, into Tua. So if you look at that, like, there's still like this little bit of tarnish on the Miami Dolphins and a lot on the Jets. Those two teams between draft capital, 2022 draft capital, and their cap space are in great position to improve their teams.
And the Pats, we'll skip to them because I want to get to the Jets more than the Pats. The Pats don't really have much to talk about. They have a pick 21, 54, 85, 118, 191. They need some wide receivers. But, I mean, as far as the rookies from last year, you're talking about Mac Jones and Ramondre Stevenson. I think Stevenson's is probably relevant, but similar to the narrative you wrote, you know, and we're getting too far off rookies here, but I think you go put offers in for Damian Harris because I think he's kind of similar to Mike Gesicki, where everybody thinks Stevenson is just about to take over that backfield. But I think Damian Harris had a very decent season last year and I think can get you that like RB2 points at a fraction of the price right now.
Yeah, I think he had something like 17 touchdowns last season. I think he's a little overlooked. I agree with you. Ramondre Stevenson, on the other hand, does seem to have cemented that RB2 role for me, where I kind of feel like New England's just a rotating door of running backs.
Yep.
But, you know, you have James White leaving in for free agency. You have Brandon Bolden even leaving in free agency. I mean, these players had snap shares. So, you know, to see them move on, you know, kind of makes me feel like New England's going to draft another one. Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, I see Ramondre Stevenson as a 1 year or 2 year behind Harris, to be quite honest. So I see him just taking over the Harris role. So they're going to have to draft the guy to replace Ramondre Stevenson too. So it'll probably be in this draft.
The same age though, really, aren't they? I mean, I don't know if Harris just goes away.
That's what people want.
I know,
and it'll probably happen.
A running back though, they could totally draft a running back. They need a wide receiver though.
Yeah, they do. They have Jacoby Myers is a free agent as well. But we're not looking for a replacement level in New England. We're looking for like a bona fide wide receiver. And the wide receiver class of free agents is not bad. We got Devontae Adams, Chris Godwin, Mike Williams, Odell Beckham, Mike Gallup, Antonio Brown, Cordarrelle Patterson, Christian Kirk, DJ Chark. There's some names out there for him.
The Jets have some draft picks.
Well, they have high draft picks.
And 10th overall.
Yeah. Including 2 seconds.
Overall.
Yeah.
I mean, that.
You know what else they have, Swag? You know what else they have? I was going to say the fifth most cap space, $48 million. This is another team that I just got done talking about. Miami and the Jets are primed between picks and cap space. So if there's any tarnish on these players. Yeah, dude, I'm with you with Elijah Moore, though. It's funny, like, we do this exercise and we look around and you see Crowder leaving. You see Keelan Cole leaving. Braxton Berrios, all free agents. It doesn't mean they can't be re-signed. These aren't big names, right? I think Crowder's gone, but they could sign Berrios. I think
Corey
he plays
Davis
special teams as well.
Flashes when he was healthy, too.
Who's that?
Corey Davis. He showed some flashes when he was healthy.
Oh, but I mean, he's not a free agent, so he's not going to be in that team, but Elijah Moore, I liked a little more. after looking at all this because of the wide receiver depth chart that's remaining, right? Like it's I mean, let's face it, Elijah Moore's earned a role, a significant role on the team if he's not the wide receiver one already. You know, so it's not about these lower guys. In fact, one could make an argument that with all those wide receivers leading, that they're going to need to shop for one.
Yeah,
one could absolutely make that argument. So, you know, these depth charts play a funny. These depth charts can play a funny story if you look at them close enough. Plus, we're looking at them so early. We're looking at them pre-draft, pre-free agency. So it would be a really cool exercise as we look at these two conferences again post-free agency and see how it shook out.
Yep, and it'll change a little bit. This is a good exercise. On to the north.
Sure.
The great white north. The Ravens. They drafted Tylan Wallace.
Yes, they did.
If you can find anybody that cares about fourth. That, I think you should move him to them.
Yep.
I don't think that'll be that easy, though.
You got Sammy Watkins leaving, but he wasn't really there to begin with. And then we got Latavius Murray leaving and Devonta Freeman leaving. There are notable fantasy free agents. But yeah, no, there's not a lot of notable 2021 rookies to really talk about when you look at the depth chart, free agency, or anything else. All I see is status quo, really. Status quo. Except maybe running the ball a little bit more.
Yep. They'll Dobbins back and Gus Edwards back. And then they've got the 14th overall pick and then the 45th overall, 76th. Those are areas they can draft some key players. I'm trying to think of their needs off the top of my head. It doesn't matter what they do to the team. They're just going to have Lamar running it and chucking the ball.
I know Baltimore is a huge fan of fourth round picks, though. They have 5 4th round picks.
Wow.
Yeah. No cap space, though. $8 million. So I think this is another team that, you know, I mean, they're not that far away. So
I want the world to burn and them to draft a quarterback at 14.
Not going to happen, especially not this year.
It's not.
Could see a team like Baltimore shopping for a backup quarterback in this year's class, but not if Tyler Huntley stays around. I think they're pretty happy with that replacement player.
They'll just bring Robert Griffin back.
But thanks for helping me with that name.
Why do you bring up a name you don't know?
It slipped my mind.
It wasn't on mine either.
Yeah, Tyler Huntley had a fantastic fantasy game late in the season. Just could not think of his name.
So, the Bengals. I mean, dude, I'm not interested in anybody outside of Tyler Boyd, Jamar Chase, and T. Higgins. So, I'm guessing you're not super interested in Chris Evans either. I don't know, like, what can you even do with him?
I tried to find a narrative for him, but it's another team where there's not a whole lot of change. There's not going to be anything to look at here. Chris Evans, like I've read articles about Chris Evans being used more in the passing game, but seriously, the passing game, that's what they need help with. Like I think their passing game is just fine. What I want to hear is Chris Evans is going to be more involved in the running game.
Fifth or sixth option.
I think they're happy with Samaje Perine too.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Chris Evans, if you can find somebody interested in him, I'll tell you what, I think I might be willing to say goodbye-bye to Chris Evans if we want to put him on the wasteland list. I could see.
Yeah.
I guess because for some reason, people are very interested in Chris Evans. Like, I feel like his name comes up way more than it's warranted, to be honest. So maybe that does put him into a category where, like, I just don't own him, to be quite honest.
Yeah,
like,
I know what you mean.
At all.
One of those players, though, like, I could see being on Dynasty waiver wires very soon.
Right.
But today, maybe you could have him as a throw-in. Not very flashy. I think you'd probably have a little bit more luck with Hunter Long than somebody like Chris Evans. But
I agree.
You never know, man. It might just be that person that you kind of – it's inevitable that he's going to be off your team. Just, like, have him as a throw-in. You don't need to get as much as you paid. You won't.
One thing I will say before you move on from the Bengals is there's a very unique thing happening here, and it's all because of Burrow. That's very clear. Anytime you can make it to the Super Bowl with the quarterback on his rookie contract, this is going to happen. But if you go ahead and look at the Bills and you look at some good teams like Cincinnati, Kansas City, you'll see like almost no cap space, limited draft picks. Cincinnati has healthy amount of draft picks, no more than normal, first, a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, two sevenths. But their cap space swags, third most in the league. and they just went to the Super Bowl. They just went to the Super Bowl, third most in the league. So they're going to look to address corner. I know you know they're going to address corner. Eli Apple's not good enough. Eli Apple's not good enough. Corner is going to wind up being a very, very, very big target, probably in the draft. They need a center. They need more offensive linemen, like a guard and a tackle. Yeah. A couple linebackers wouldn't hurt either. So they're going to wind up shopping free agency and the draft and not really help us in fantasy much.
I mean, honestly, that's what you say, dude, but I mean, it'll help what's there because, I mean, you think about that wide receiver room with some time and Joe Burrow getting some time for those guys to get open. You see him when he's got to, like, rush it out there and just, like, heave it to Ja'Marr Chase. Wait till he has time for those guys to get open. It could be scary.
I was referring to additional assets. We know about Mixon and Chase and Burrow and Higgins. Like, I meant, like, don't look for anything new in free agency. Or
I hear you, like, there, yeah.
But those pieces will get sharpened. I agree.
Yeah.
Maybe not immediately, too. You don't just draft offensive linemen and have a good offensive line. But they're in a really nice spot to be a good team for a while, really, until Burrow's up for contract.
Browns were interesting as well. This one got me thinking, similar to Gabriel Davis, not at all similar, actually, the complete opposite, but it got me doing a little rookie rewind and thinking, because there wasn't really that much relevant here as far as, like, Anthony Schwartz, like, nobody wants him, nobody cares,
I agree.
I might be able to find a window to move on from Donovan Peoples-Jones, and I'm willing to cut bait, but I think that his name just holds enough value still to where you could foreseeably push him into a trade or maybe get a I'll take picks for him at this point, even if it's not a throw in and I can't do that exercise. But he's somebody that I feel like with their picks,
can I supply you a narrative
better in the draft?
Can I supply you a narrative to the person who's interested in Donovan Peoples-Jones?
Yeah, help me out.
All right, so you want to get rid of him? You go up to the owner of you go to another team in your fantasy league and you say, hey, I have Donovan Peoples-Jones, looking to move him. I know it looks like just Higgins is leaving, so it doesn't look like, you know, there's a big void there, but we have Njoku who's leaving, so that's some targets that are leaving. Like, who is their next tight end? We also have, which I think is the glaring thing that I would pitch in this exchange, Landry is due to make $16.3 million next year. So he's not a free agent, but by cutting him, they'll save $14 million. I don't think Landry, with his 52 catches and 570 yards, is worth keeping. So I would pitch that and say Donovan Peoples-Jones could be the number one wide receiver on this Cleveland team next year. Pitch that to move on from him.
I mean, if I was Landry, I would just try to get cut somehow. He'll probably do it we won't see it quite as much. But yeah, man, he could be in a better situation, it seems like, for the end part of his career. I wouldn't mind seeing that. I like that move, and I like that pitch. So the time to wait and see is, I mean, you have to see if he actually gets cut. But at that point, that's when you try to move Donovan Peoples-Jones. But
agreed.
I don't want to wait. I want to see what teams he's on and just try to start maybe putting some things together. But
it's a game, right? Because you're right. Cleveland has $25 million in cap space, which is pretty good. That's in the green. They have a first, a second, two thirds, two fourths, right? So they have a lot of opportunities to throw a wide receiver on this team and muddy the works up. So, like, if you wait for the Landry thing, you might miss out on an opportunity to pitch your story. I mean, I could see, like, laying the groundwork and pitching the story now. If nobody bites, at least it's out there. And then if they don't draft a wide receiver till the fourth or fifth round, that story's really going to stick. And then you can move on. You might not even want to move on by then.
Yeah. No, I hear you. And that's the funny thing, too, is you have to remember now, then. You have to remember now, then, because
that's the hardest thing to do in fantasy.
You're right today, and you're probably going to be wrong then. And so if these narratives happen, I'll just tell you I could have a lot of teams that I would have gotten a lot more for Mitch Trubisky if I moved on from him the last time he was starting. You just do it. You know what I mean? You know it.
Right.
So the Steelers, my little Mapletron fan here with me tonight.
What's your insight on the Steelers?
Well, I mean, like I said before the show, I think they're drafting a wide receiver.
Yeah, I agree. Like every year in the second round.
They didn't have any players worth talking about for this exercise. I mean, they had Freiermuth, who I love, and obviously Najee Harris, who we love. But after that, they didn't have anybody that I absolutely wanted to move on from or anything. I do think they'll draft a wide receiver, very likely moving on from Juju, who fell in love with Chase Claypool.
Chase Claypool is not somebody that I was chasing, if you will. But I think I might be interested in him at this time. I was looking at it, and Pittsburgh has the 10th most cap space, but they also have a lot of needs, man. They're going to lose their quarterback. We all know that. Ben just retired. They lost depth at wide receiver, which is important. If you like them, it doesn't matter. If you don't like James Washington, that's fine. They still need the depth at wide receiver. They lose Juju, who was a key piece in that offense, whether you like Juju or not. Eric Ebron wasn't doing much, but he was tight end depth. They need to replace all these players. You don't just say, oh, we have Pat Freiermuth, so we don't need anyone else. You still need a depth chart. Then you have offensive line issues. We've been talking about the offensive line with Harris for how long now? So they have some of the worst offensive linemen in the league. So they need to address that as well. And then their picks are down a little bit. They don't have their full complements picks. They do have a first, a second, and a third. That's fantastic. But then it goes 4-7-7. So they're losing some of that depth down there. But they do have the 10th most cap space in the league. So they're going to look to address some of this there. But the quarterback is tricky. If they wind up picking up the quarterback in free agency and really go for it, thinking that they're only a few pieces away or something like that, I think they might be making a mistake. I think this is a team that can confuse themselves for a competitive rebuild when maybe they just need to rebuild.
Quarterback landscape could be really interesting too, because
oh, yeah.
The draft isn't going to save all the teams in the NFL. It really isn't. There's just not enough quarterbacks like that in this draft. We've already had two like franchise quarterbacks like get into how much better Tom Brady is than Ben or anything like that. And I mean, what if Ryan retires? I mean, what if, you know what I mean? What if Aaron Rodgers decides to hang it up? There is going to be a situation where there's somebody you don't like starting on an NFL team. We don't know exactly who it is yet, whether it's Jimmy G, Gardner Minshew. Somebody's going to get a job this offseason that might shock us a little bit.
We talked about this last offseason that there was like basically half the league looking for quarterbacks, and that was legit, half the league. But we had this huge infusion of top 12, meaning like they were drafted in the top 12 quarterbacks come out in last year's class, where this class, we're probably going to have quarterbacks move up into that top 10 or 12 again, one maybe, two tops, but that's going to be out of necessity because there's no one there. This quarterback class is not just in the fantasy community looked down on. It's looked down in the NFL too. And so you have this situation now where we have the same supply problem and we don't have anything more really significant coming out of there. We don't have a Trey Lance and a Fields and a Trevor Lawrence. We don't have these guys coming in. So you might actually see players like Trubisky get a starting job. Mariota might get looked at. Like these guys, they have a little window now where they could have like a little bit of a renaissance. These were like high picks, you know, and they did show flashes. Mariota absolutely showed flashes. Trubisky was under Josh Allen for a year. Like there's some possibilities here where these guys find starting homes.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why you almost roll the dice. Like you said, it's almost a gamble, but you roll the dice and try to get some of those quarterbacks in your super flex leagues now. If you can, some of them are going to find jobs. It could be a very interesting offseason.
It will be.
I think we have to move down south, though, go to the Texans. This is an interesting one, Venero. I don't know what you looked at. I don't know how comfortable you are with Davis Mills, but is that third overall pick going to be used on a quarterback? Is it time to move on from Davis Mills, or do we have conviction that we have a starting quarterback in Davis Mills?
I don't have conviction.
Give me some. Give me some. Make me feel good about Davis Mills.
I think if Houston's honest with themselves, and I think they'll have to be because their cap space is moderate with $17 million under the cap or over the cap. Under the cap. I think if they're honest with themselves, I think they're going to realize that this isn't the year to go for the QB and start building in other areas and let Mills go ahead and do this. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't bring in one of those other quarterbacks that we were talking about for competition. I could see happening. Maybe. Yeah. So something like that could happen. Tyrod Taylor's a free agent. They could re-sign him, but he is a free agent. It's one of those things where they do have I mean, Houston, come on, let's be honest. They have a lot of needs, right? I don't think we need to. Is quarterback probably at the top of the list? It's awful close.
Could you say that?
But tight end.
Say Houston, we have a problem.
You just did. But I do think they don't have a lot of notables leaving. You have the safety, Justin Reed, but David Johnson's not a loss. Philip Lindsay's not a loss. The tackle, Malik Collins, is. I see them bringing in competition at quarterback. I think Mills keeps the job, but I think that they are going to finish very similarly this year as they did last year, and they're going to have a high pick next year and a better quarterback, and they'll be able to wait. So will he have competition? Maybe even lose his job to that competition? Maybe. So, you know, I'm not excited about Mills. I have no conviction about that.
Good old Philip Lindsay. Nico Collins, Brevin Jordan, do you feel like holding on to them? I know we like Brevin Jordan here. How are you feeling about Nico Collins?
Yeah, so Nico is somebody I wanted to highlight. This is the one that I thought I would surprise you with a little bit. So, all right. Free agents. We mentioned Tyrod Taylor. We mentioned David Johnson. We mentioned Malik Collins. We mentioned, that's pretty much it. The things I didn't mention was a trio of wide receivers that you're going to say, well, why are you, well, I'm sorry, two wide receivers that are also free agents, and you're going to say, why are you mentioning them? Danny Amendola and Chris Connolly. Oh, sorry, yeah, and Chris Moore. And you're like, well, who cares? Like, there's no loss there. What I found funny was I looked at snap shares, and Chris Connolly was second in snap shares behind Cooks, and Chris Moore was fourth. So basically, we have two wide receivers that were gobbling up snaps. So they were on the field. Snaps means they were on the field.
Yeah.
That Nico Collins was, yes, Nico Collins was the third, but he wasn't even the second. So Cooks was the first. Connolly was the second. Then you have Nico, the rookie, in there. Then you have Chris Moore, who had almost the same amount of snaps as Nico. I think Nico has a wonderful opportunity here with, you know, okay cap space and a rebuilding team, to not really go all in at wide receiver with other needs like quarterback, tight end, offensive line, corner, safety. I think I could see him very clearly and easily being, you know, the bona fide number two on this team next year. So I'm more interested in Nico Collins than I was before.
Probably doesn't take much to pry either, quite honestly.
And what if they got a QB upgrade? What if they don't just go laissez-faire on this, like I said? What if they actually go and say, no, we're going to go get our quarterback right now? It's possible.
I don't know. I think Davis Mills wasn't that bad. I don't even know if that helps.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
So maybe they go get a quarterback. I don't think this is one of the teams that's going to go get one of the vets or anything, though. I think it would have to be with that number three overall pick.
Yep. Yeah, you and I are in the same ballpark, and we don't think, I mean, you don't think they're going to pick a quarterback at three, right?
I don't, man.
I really don't.
It sounds like they like the kid. I think they want to try to see what he's got another year, honestly, and then maybe
they're not a playoff team, right? They're not a playoff team. Where are they going? So might as well just take one more year.
They necessarily get a better quarterback at three than they have in Davis Mills this year. And like you said, just wait till 2023.
Yep.
The Colts. No first round pick for the Colts. They do have tight end Kylan Granson. A chuckle from the tight end garden.
That's called reaching.
I mean, man, that seems to be all they do at tight end, though, if we're being honest. Right. When have they had a tight end you care about that was worth caring about again?
You know, like Mr. Jack Doyle?
No. Nope.
Journeyman Jack Doyle?
No. He doesn't
no.
do anything for me.
Top needs for the Colts. Corner, wide receiver. I think we'll agree with wide receiver. We got T.Y. Hilton, finally a free agent. To the tight end, Mo Alie-Cox is also a free agent. Zach Pascal, another wide receiver, hitting free agency along with Marlon Mack. But $37.3 million in cap space, seventh most in the league. But again, corner, wide receiver, tight end, like you said. Again, offensive lineman, edge. So there's no 2021 rookie that I need to talk about on the Colts because they didn't really draft anyone. So there's nothing really to see here, but the thing that I do see is...
Might not even be all in on Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I know. The thing I do see here is a nice little landing spot for a 2022 rookie wide receiver. That I do see.
Need it.
And they need one. Yeah. I think that could be nice for whoever is throwing the ball in Indianapolis. I don't get the Wentz thing, to be quite honest with you. I don't He played through injury. I thought he had moments like, you know, they just signed him. I'm a little surprised that it's so public right now that they're, it'd be different if behind the scenes they were looking, that'd be different. You know, they'd always be looking, but they made it so public now. I don't even know if they can come off of it.
Yeah. That's the mistake a lot of GMs make. And that's, I mean, that's like what they did with Goff last year too. Just like, here, we'll give you picks mm-hmm. too. And now like mm-hmm. Detroit's got, I mean, it's a Super Bowl pick, so it's 32 overall now, but still, you know, Detroit's got some picks. So, I mean, if you're not interested, if I can't get you interested in Kylan Granson, I'm not going to get you interested in Luke Farrell for the Jags.
That's correct.
Is anybody? Are these names that we could foreseeably get anything for and do a little bit of early spring cleaning, maybe? Or you just drop them?
I mean, drop them if I have to, I suppose, but I don't think I'm going to get anything for them either. Yeah, I mean, there's some of these AFC teams that didn't even draft, you know, notable players. And we're going to move on to the Titans eventually, and it's a similar kind of thing there. There's not much to see there.
Jacks pick number one overall.
They certainly do. Again, 2 years in a row.
Again, yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they do with that pick. So you mentioned the Titans, Dez Fitzpatrick. This is somebody that I wanted to see hit our Rookie Fever top 12s a couple times. I wish that he did more for us to talk about throughout the season when Julio was gone. It concerns me how many times he was moved to the practice squad. I mean, he never even really would make the team, but he was always moved to the practice squad. I feel like something's wrong. Like he's just not learning as quick as they want him to on the field to even be fourth, fifth on the depth chart of a team that could have probably used some weapons at some times last year. I don't know if Dez Fitzpatrick holds enough name value, though.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's a really good point. There's opportunity here with Julio never really being able to stay on the field, and more importantly, the Titans being negative $7 million. On the cap.
Wow.
So they got to figure out how to make room just to re-sign like players. Like, it's bad. Like, they're in a really rough situation. They don't even have a second round pick. They have a first, a third, and 2 fourths, a fifth, and 2 sixths. So like they don't have, they, you know, again, they're out a second round draft pick. So a top 100 pick is off the board. They have to figure out how to make room. They're losing players like Harold Landry, Rashad Evans, Jaylen Brown, Ben Jones, who's their center. Hell, they're even losing their kicker. I mean, you know, they have some issues, for sure. Tennessee is, it's crazy, man, right? They had the bye. This is a team that had the bye. And this is what you normally see. This is what you normally see with these teams. Like, the Rams are going to be a disaster next year, right? We all know that the Rams went all in.
They had a lot of old.
Yeah, they went all in. Team, yeah. And they went all in. Odell's a free agent. Like, you know, they got players. You heard like four players like contemplating retirement, like while the celebration was going on, right? Like, it's crazy. Yeah. So the Tennessee
wasn't
Titans.
Even sure if he was coming back.
The Tennessee Titans are like the same thing, except they didn't make it to the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, they're in a lot of trouble. They really are. It's mm-hmm. a scary team right now. I even heard rumors that like, they're not even like necessarily totally sold on keeping Tannehill. Were you hearing that?
I mean, really quick, I heard the rumor that Rodgers might go there
because the house. That's right.
Everybody.
That's why we heard
crazy,
that.
But they came out pretty quick and said that
that was off season stuff. Could. Yeah, but it's he's gonna have some issues. But what that could lead to is just a big boom year for AJ Brown. This target hog AJ Brown.
Yeah. Should we move out west?
Yeah, probably.
To the Broncos. Oh, man. So foreseeably the landing spot for Aaron Rodgers, no?
Yeah. That's the most common place, which would give some fantasy assets that aren't rookies a bump for sure. Your Suttons, your Judys, hell, your Javonte Williams, even by getting into that red zone a lot more than they were able to get into it last year. But not rookies that were talking meanly about, like trying to either move on from. I'm not moving on from Javonte Williams if I own him. I'll tell you that.
No, yeah, they have nothing. I mean, they have
regardless who's that quarterback,
the ninth overall pick. I don't know if that's probably a quarterback if they don't have somebody. By then,
yeah, I've seen a quarterback
agency by then.
Yeah, I've seen a quarterback. Most common place I've seen a quarterback go, absolutely Denver in the draft. I see a lot of mocks going a quarterback there. And this is, again, assuming that Rodgers doesn't go there. Carolina,
Steelers.
Absolutely another one. Washington, the picks before the Steelers, absolutely another one. And then you have the Steelers, which most of the time I've seen the Steelers mock the QB. They trade up to get one. Mm. And Mark Schofield and I did a player profile on the quarterback class, and his favorite match, just as a teaser to that profile, is Kenny Pickett. And not just because he played for Pitt, which is nice. I mean, it's still a nice narrative. I like it. But also just team just team fit. He really thinks and Kenny Pickett's slowly becoming my favorite QB in this class of not people you're really excited about. But, you know, if there's a guy, I think I'm pulling Kenny Pickett out of the group. I'll let you listen to the profile, but that's just my opinion. I can't confirm that's Mark's, but
you hear that, guys? He's gonna let me listen to the player profile too.
Yeah, I'll let you. I'll let you listen to it a day early, Swags.
What?
How about that?
Actually,
be the first one
to hear the Schofield episode. You know that that episode
he's a great
was.
Guy.
That's a classic. You got to go back and listen to last year's Mark Schofield show with Finero on the Rookie Fever player profiles, where they covered all the quarterbacks. That's a good listen there.
There's also a really fun class to talk about for an hour.
The Chiefs, last year's class was insane. Top heavy, insane. Like, I do find, like, through this exercise, it didn't have any fun players, like, deep, and that I'm as interested in stashing for a year or two on my taxi. But the Chiefs, they had one player where I feel like if you have Noah Gray, you send some kind of offer to the Kelce team, and they'll probably be interested enough and send you something back, even if it's a fourth or third round pick. But you might be able to find a player on their team that you don't feel like they need, that you could get add a little spice to Noah Gray and upgrade at a position somewhere else. I don't think he's anybody the Kelce owner should necessarily want, but I think that would be the team to take the bait on this. And Kelce getting older, I think teams are a little bit worried and might want that as the quote-unquote insurance policy to Kelce.
That's an interesting one. I hadn't thought about Noah Gray much. He's in one of my tight end gardens. Yeah, I mean, that's a thought. I mean, they have no cap space. $4 million, big whoop. They definitely are looking for a corner. I hope this is the year they get a wide receiver, to be quite honest.
They need a wide receiver.
I really do. And free agency seems to be the spot that I think that they would like to go, but I don't think they can. Again, that cap space is so low. They're going to have to do stuff that, you know, a capologist needs to look at. In other words, they're going to have to make some cuts, like that Jarvis Landry cut I was telling you about. $15 million, by the way. They're saving themselves by getting rid of Landry. So if I look closer at Kansas City, maybe there's some cuts that they can make there. I also, honestly, I think running back is a team need for this. I really do.
Nobody
I think
wants
seriously,
to hear it, but yeah.
No, I really think a team need is running back. I think that's what Kansas City absolutely should have learned this season, when their backup quarterbacks were doing very well and CEH was meh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was all right. Like, Derek Gore is a free agent. McKinnon's a free agent. Darrell Williams is a free agent. All three running backs, free agents. I can see Kansas City needing to go back to that well, kind of like the way the Eagles did with wide receiver, when they're like, we kind of missed on Reagor. We got to go back in. You know what I mean? And they could even afford to go back in.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people projecting, like Drake London, to compliment Smith to the Eagles and going wide receiver again 3 years in a row. I don't think it would be crazy for the Chiefs 2 years later to be like, you know what, we missed. He's okay. I made a Twitter comment while the Chiefs were in the playoff run and said, you know what, CH is a pretty good backup satellite back. And he is. He's a decent satellite back. He's not. I don't think he's an every down back. I'm sorry. It's just I don't see it.
He never was. That's what you get for letting your quarterback use your first round pick.
You should let Burrow pick your first round pick for you.
Did he take Ja'Marr Chase?
He wanted Ja'Marr Chase very badly, yes.
The Raiders. Here's my advice to you, Raiders. Just to you. This is exclusive advice to the Raiders. Get rid of all your draft picks until you're in a city that youth can handle.
I don't hate that. I don't hate that. That's sound advice. You need to go get
some vets that are a little bit more used to the life, we will say. Because you're not handling the situation of living in the city that never sleeps very well. And I fear any rookie that has to deal with your organization until you've figured out how to handle this situation. Nobody wants to hear this. Nobody wanted to hear when Henry Ruggs had his accident and killed somebody. But this is something we talked about before a team was in Vegas. That think about the players that could get in trouble. Like, that's a lot for these young players. Nobody wanted to hear that shit. I haven't heard anybody say it, but it's a lot to handle, guys. It's a lot to handle to imagine like a 20 to 23 year old human being all of a sudden being handed money and you go to live in Las Vegas. Go get some vets who are a little bit more used to the life, because I think it's going to be a hard place to come up, honestly.
I do see a world where the Bryan Edwards toothers are going to, they're going to come out again in this offseason. He's going to have a nice little off season, the nice preseason, they're going to see no Rugs again. And there's going to be people like me who own Bryan Edwards everywhere that say all that was there last year, the no Rugs, the opportunity that, and it just wasn't there. Like, we weren't getting what we need to see out of Bryan Edwards, but you're going to hear it again. Zay Jones is a free agent. D-Jax is a free agent. They're definitely letting D-Jax go. I could see them re-signing Zay Jones. Absolutely could see them signing him back. They do have a decent amount of cap space, 2021. Wide receivers, 100% in need with Ruggs gone. 100% in need. Bryan Edwards or not.
I could still see Hunter Renfrow being completely undervalued throughout the offseason.
I agree 100%. Yep.
And I know that that's
although I feel like Well, I think this is like we're breaking the rules at Rookie Fever. We're trying to make this as rookie-centric as we can, but it's a lot of fun to talk about these other players because they all impact rookies in one way or another. Mm-hmm. And I do feel as though you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I think Hunter Renfrow, the good thing about Hunter Renfrow, or I think the realistic thing about Hunter Renfrow is he's into the Brandon Cooks category now, where like he's undervalued, but he's just going to deliver year after year.
Mm-hmm.
So like there's going to be like an upswell of people that are just like, yeah, fine, undervalue him. I'll take him because like you don't think he's sexy, like, but he's going to finish as a wide receiver too every single year. I'll take that. Like that, I think Hunter Renfrow is now in that category where before that he was almost nobody. I think he's earned respect to at least be in that category now where it's like, I'd rather have this upside player. I'd rather have this young rookie. Like, I'll move on from him, you know, because he's never going to be elite. Like, but you're just going to miss out. You're going to miss out on a guy you can put in your lineup every single week.
Actual game and the amount of targets and then the percentage that he caught. I mean, it's all top three.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I forget, right? It's Cooper Kupp. Is it Godwin?
Sounds about right. Godwin has them. Then had a lot of targets.
Renfrow, and then
probably
Amon-Ra St. Brown. Amon-Ra St. Brown.
There it is.
The Chargers. Joshua Palmer. How are we feeling about Joshua Palmer moving forward? We've talked about him a lot here.
Yes,
I've talked about him a lot in my head. I feel wishy-washy. There's days I want to add him, and there's days I don't even care I have him.
So here's some concerning things that, like, all right, so let's say you like Josh Palmer. I think some of the allure to a Josh Palmer is, well, Mike Williams is a free agent, you know, and then that gets people a little excited. It's like, hold on, I saw flashes from Josh Palmer, and Mike Williams is a free agent. Mike Williams is going to be expensive. Chargers have a lot of money, dude. They have a lot of money. Fourth most in the league, in fact. I think they like Mike Williams. I also think Mike Williams is one of those players that might want to stay exactly where he is. I think that he would be comfortable in that situation. Think about it. You play for 5 years, and the year that you really hit is the year that you were given an opportunity for the Chargers. You are kind of labeled as an injury-prone guy, and fairly, to be quite honest, that's a fair label for him. And so NFL teams are thinking that too. So he's not going to get Devontae Adams money. He's not going to get Chris Godwin money, right? So he's going to be like that next tier down. And I think the Chargers can absolutely afford him, and they were really happy with what he did last year. I see Mike Williams staying, and that's when I'm going to buy Josh.
Well, Palmer. And he's on a team that's on the up and up too. It's not like he's on a team that is
Hell no.
or anything. He would imagine leaving and then watching them go on to prosper, and you know what I mean, like that.
I think Mike Williams likes it there in LA. I think they like him.
Maybe take a little home team discount to be the number two there.
Yep, I really think Mike Williams is going to stay. I really do. The thing that I like, though, is Jalen Guyton as a free agent. I don't see them re-signing him after spending a decent amount of money on Mike Williams to bring him back. It doesn't mean they're going to be broke by it by any means, but they're probably not going to bring Guyton back. That puts Josh Palmer in that third role in a nice, pass-happy team. So, like, when Mike Williams signs, I might go try to get some Josh Palmer.
Mm. Okay, I don't mind that. I might send some Palmer to you now.
Ooh. See. What about Trey McKitty? Anything on Trey McKitty?
Maybe a little, you know.
We got Jared Cook leaving, mm-hmm. and then every backup tight end. Steven Anderson's gone. Donald Parham's gone. I don't know.
Maybe a little.
Yeah, I don't know. He's free. I tell you that. And then you think about the team. The thing that I'm worried about is that Chargers money. So that Charger money, right? So let's say they sign Mike Williams to, I don't know, $16 million a year. That's a lot of money. Out there is, who do we got out there? We got out there Zach Ertz, Evan Ingram, Njoku, Gronk, Dalton Schultz. I feel like the Chargers would love one of those guys on that team.
Yeah, maybe.
I think they could afford some of those guys.
Retires.
Yeah, I think Gronk's going too. But I mean, it's not a bad tight end free agent class. Like, some of those names are decent. Evan Ingram, like little secondary bump. I wonder what that would do for his fantasy stock.
He's probably not going to get the contract he wants either.
Right. Honestly. And I feel like that could be a nice little sweet spot for him. Zach Ertz, I like a little bit there too. Dalton Schultz, I feel like is going to be another Austin Hooper, but. Maurice is going to be, he's going to have that.
What everybody says, though. I'm kind of.
Oh, you hate when you hate the regurgitated stuff.
It just seems.
How about I don't use Austin Hooper? How about I just eliminate that name and I say, I see.
A team in regress?
Yes. Can I say that? Instead of the shorter.
Than just like finding the last tight end that was worth money and failed. Yeah. Because, I mean, you could probably say the same thing for Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry and a lot of veteran tight ends that have switched team. I mean, traditionally, like if you watch a veteran wide receiver change a team, like they are going to lose a little bit of action. So
yeah, I like the Hunter Henry move.
I don't mind it either, though. I don't mind Austin Hooper, though.
I mean, my Austin Hooper shares are worthless.
But most tight ends are.
I'll tell you what, if you find a league where I have Austin Hooper and you have Hunter Henry, I'll make a deal for you straight up right now.
That's not what I said.
No, you said that what you did say was that rather than say Austin Hooper, just say a regression tight end like Hunter Henry, like this guy. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to pull Hunter Henry out of that list because I feel like that's not the same thing.
It's bad, but I don't think Hunter Henry has ever really given us a season that we thought he would. He's given flashes.
Where Hooper has. Hooper had a top three tight end season and now is almost worthless. I don't think those two players are comparable is all I'm saying. The list isn't as long as you think it
is. What if Dalton Schultz finds a way to stay in Dallas?
I'm fine with that.
I don't even care.
I'm fine with that.
I don't even care.
this is why we only talk rookies.
Tight ends. I'm not trying to acquire Dalton Schultz or Austin Hooper on either of my teams, but
I agree.
But if Dalton Schultz stays in Dallas, we will all be sorry that we didn't. I am at Swagzilla 0G. He is at Art Mark TV. We are the Rookie Fever Podcast. Do-do-do-do-do. And Finero's got final thoughts.
Oh my God, I do?
You better.
All right, I got you one. I'm ready. All right. Your ability to create the reality you want is directly connected to your willingness to experience its opposite. I'll repeat that one more time and then give you an example. Your ability to create the reality you want is directly linked to your willingness to experience its opposite. Working out makes you feel weak while it's making you strong. Learning something new will make you feel pretty dumb, but will make you smarter. Your willingness to grow as a person, you simply have to ask yourself, how much am I willing to pursue the opposite of what I really want?
That's interesting. I feel like that was directed at me.
If a final thought, listeners, if that final thought made you feel like I was talking directly to you, that means it was a good final thought. And apparently that one hit Swags deep.
I love it. Love it. So now you guys go back, check out any Rookie Fever player profiles that you haven't listened to yet. We'll have more dropping Monday, minimum 2 a week. I don't know. It's probably a good show to say go 5-star review us.
I don't know. I have to listen back. I think it has that potential. I agree. I think this is the most anyone on Rookie Fever, any listener has heard us talk about other players. This was like a pretty complete episode, like across the board. We just went over half the league.
If the 5-star review part wasn't there, don't 5-star review us. And if it is there, then you should 5-star review. But if you don't hear anything about 5-star reviews, don't worry about it. We are at Rookie Fever, and we are out. Rookie Fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight, fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. Rookie fever. When you kiss me, when you hold me tight.
The 101 scouting has never done this to before, and run. I told you anyone size must be just on real landing spot, not ideal. Wait, when's this breakout? It's full Rookie Fever stage.
Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever. I'm a fire, fever, yeah, I burn for soon.
So who's got the fever? Cause I got the fever, now you got the fever. So she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever.
What a lovely way to burn.
Now you got the fever, now you got the fever.